studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Bobble, and he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game!
It's Optional, hour number two, rolling along here on Fox Sports Knoxville. In front of me, Brandon Johns, producing, running, co-hosting. Ben Lee is sitting in with me today, which is fun. I don't get to do this often.
I would say I'm co-hosting.
Okay, well, yeah.
And that would make Brandon the producer. No, the executive producer.
How did I get demoted on a day when I'm the? How did I go
got
from
on a
second
own show.
In command to I third in command on a day when there's only two of us here?
Get demoted. Without even doing anything.
I'm going to just strike.
You're going to walk outside with a picket sign?
I'm just going to walk out.
You're just going to be walking back and forth out the window right there with the sign.
Trey Wallace is in there.
Saying, I'm not appreciated.
And unfair.
I'm not appreciated.
I'm not. I'm used and abused over here.
Brandon Johns. So sad.
I'm sorry, Brandon.
I can feel the sincerity in that apology.
You know, like it's just the dynamic of Trey is the main host.
Right.
I'm right here. That makes me the co-host, executive producer Brandon Johns.
Extraordinaire
third
DJ
host.
As well.
Yeah.
What's it called?
A mixologist. Disc jockey.
That was a pretty funny movie, I have to say.
Once again, you're going to have to help me out with what movie you're referencing.
He never gets my movie references.
No one does.
I think I'm with him.
A mixologist.
Me and Brandon are closer in age. Like, I think we're always going to be, when you reference
y'all
older movies, you're going to have to
know this.
They're not even, like, classic
it's
older movies.
It's got Forrest Whitaker in it. It's also got
the hell that is.
Forrest Whitaker.
I don't know actors.
Is that like your accountant? I don't know who
Forrest Whitaker. How in God's name do y'all not know Forrest Whitaker?
I don't recognize actor names other than the absolute goats like Heath Ledger.
I just pulled him up. I wouldn't have even known him if he walked in the studio right now.
What the heck is wrong with you?
I forgot I had actually went and got my computer, so I'm gonna look him up.
Forrest Whitaker, for God's sakes.
If he walked in, I would not know. I would not know that he was a famous actor.
What else is he in other than mixologist? Black Panther. What's he playing?
He did a movie with the
Butler.
What's that comedian's name?
Taken 3. That was a banger.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
No.
Okay, Taken
3. Come on. Like, after Taken 1, like, how much more Taken can you get?
Well, they had to take the whole damn family.
Well, yeah, at first it was
they
Taken.
They took
then,
the daughter for in
the
second
the mom.
One. They took
the daughter in the first one.
Right. The mom in the second
and
one.
The second and one, they took the mom and daughter, right?
Right, and then they killed the mom.
The most
spoiler alert.
The most unrealistic
come
part.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Actually wanted to go watch it.
The most unrealistic part about the entire Taken movie
was that two
girls that age were going to Europe to follow around you two. What a joke.
That's a great point.
What a joke.
Is that who they're going to follow?
Yeah. They were going to see three of their concerts in Europe. I was like, no, they're not.
I forgot that was the reason they went over there. I kind of just figured it was like a foreign exchange thing. Yeah.
Thank you, Nate, on Twitter. Y'all need to be better. Forrest Whitaker is a friggin' goat. Wow, Trey Wallace. See?
You still haven't told us what that movie's about, though. Like, I don't even know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna look at his
IMDb real quick.
His son is marrying Carlos, whatever his name is, the comedian.
Mencia?
I don't think that's him.
Gosh.
But his son's marrying another person's daughter. They have to get along. They're husbands and dads, and they fight and all this type of stuff. And they go to the bar and the club, and they're trying to find a DJ, and they roll up to a DJ. And
I'm not like
he's
this.
Like, I'm not a DJ. I'm a mixologist.
Okay, see, that's kind of funny. Like, that line is kind of funny.
Right.
I'm not spending 90 minutes. For that one laugh, though.
I mean,
find the movie. It's with
I'm looking at a lot of these movies, and I'll really, it just you. It seems like they're a bunch of flops.
You just name them, and I'll tell you which one it is.
I mean, wait, what, the movie's not called Mixologist?
No, what the hell?
Do you know what when it was released?
Yeah, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
God. Okay.
Yeah, there's no hope.
All right, I'll just list off the movies he's in. Okay. A Fall from Grace.
No.
Jingle Jangle.
No.
I'm sure that's a banger. Yeah. The Godfather of Harlem. City of Lies. Damn it. Finding Lies Steve McQueen.
Oh man.
No.
He's in the TV series Empire. How It Ends. Black Panther. Like I said. Still don't know what character he was. It says Zuri. Who is
Zuri? I
don't
know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Obviously, so come on. I want to find the movie.
Obviously not a big one. Let's see. He's in some Star Wars reboots.
No, not in Star Wars. No.
The Forgiven?
No.
Arrival? No. Roots? Southpaw?
No, he was good at Southpaw.
He was the narrator.
He was good in Trainer.
He was the narrator for a movie called Dope.
Okay, Dope was good. Dope was good.
Two Men in Town, Nelson Mandela. It was a short video.
That was good.
Come on.
Okay, keep going.
Black Nativity.
No, that's definitely not
making
it.
A scene.
Yeah, that's not the mixologist.
No, it's not. God
Lee
left.
Daniels, the butler.
No,
Pawn Zulu, Repentance.
No,
I think really what we're getting to is
The Last Stand. Like, dude, I'm back to 2012. What movie? Like,
keep going.
You've gone far enough.
Radio.
American Ferrara is in it.
The Last Stand, Dark Truth, Freelancers, Ernest and Celestine, Catch 44.
Dang it.
A few episodes of Criminal Minds, Lullaby for Pi, The Experiment, My Own Love Song, Repo Men, Our Family Wedding. Dude, I don't...
That's it!
Our Family Wedding?
That's it!
Let's see what that got on Rotten Tomatoes.
Thank God I figured that one out. That was going to bother the heck out of me.
It's got 4.9 stars out of 10.
Okay, that's good.
On IMDb. Yeah,
it's just below average.
Just less than half. That's almost an F.
It was a pretty funny movie. It was. Because of the other character.
The weeks leading up to a young couple's wedding are comic and stressful, especially as their respective fathers try to lay their long-standing feud to rest. Oh, so it's like Romeo and Juliet, huh?
Well, no, not really. Not really.
No, they don't try to lay that to rest. They just kill each other.
The co-star was good in it. Lopez.
August of all tweets in, Forrest Whitaker was far and away the worst actor in Black Panther. Didn't fit the character even a little bit.
We know that.
And his accent was god-awful.
Well, Too Tall Vol says the Forrest Whitaker slander is BS. Great debaters, phone booth, good movie, phone booth, Colin Farrell. He's stuck in the phone booth for 2.5 hours, and I kept wondering the whole damn movie. Is he going to get out of the phone booth? Is Kiefer Sutherland, who was the sniper?
Our phone booth's not glass.
Yeah. Yes, but Kiefer Sutherland was the sniper, and he trapped Colin Farrell in the phone booth, and then Forrest Whitaker was the police negotiator, and they're like, you can come out of the booth now. But he never left the damn booth till the end.
The most upsetting thing about what you just said was that you watched that for two and a half hours.
Phenomenon. Great movie. Phenomenal.
Hold on.
With
we gotta
John
go back
Travolta.
To this phone booth thing. So was the sniper saying, if you leave the phone booth, I'm going to kill you kind of thing?
Yeah, he was also like bribing him where, I mean, this is way off sports today. This is fantastic. I'm kind of like it. So phone booth was, you know, he was in there and he was a hotshot PR guy and I guess he screwed over somebody and, you know, they.
One thing leads to another sniper.
He's in a sniper.
And he's trapped in the phone booth. Well, and now we don't know whether he's going to
move. He was on the phone
in
a phone booth.
That you can pretty much break through at any time.
And then all of a sudden the phone rings. And Kiefer Sutherland's like, I see you down there. Okay, you cannot leave now. And all this, whatever. And all this, and there's a sniper looking out for him. And
Kiefer Sutherland sounds kind of like the Joker.
And then like they put like a gun at the top of the phone booth. He set it up where if he reached up there and grabbed it, the cops are going to kill him. And he dang it. Okay. It was stupid, but it was a fun movie. All right.
Your time would be so much more spent if you watched good movies.
Phenomenon with John Travolta and Robert Duvall. Great soundtrack, Eric Clapton. I can change the world. That's a good one.
I'm sure.
The Last King of Scotland. Classic. He's an Academy Award and Golden Globe nominee. See, y'all all can just kiss my grits.
I just, you know.
All your hate.
I'm not saying Forest Whitaker's a bad actor or anything. I don't know anything about the guy. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
He was good in Good Morning Vietnam.
Apparently, he was bad in Black Panther.
Yeah.
Which is the only movie I've seen that he's been in.
And like we pointed out too, if he had just walked in the studio,
I had no idea.
I wouldn't have known who he was.
Would have had no idea.
Yeah, thank you, Nate. He was good in Street Kings as well with Keanu Reeves.
It sounds like he needs a lot of really great actors around him to make him great.
Okay, I'm starting to think he's been in a lot of movies.
Some guys
just takes like any role.
Yeah. That sounds like a goat to me.
He is really good. Forest Whitaker will go down. Is one of the
who's a better actor, Forrest Whitaker or Nicolas Cage?
Nick Cage. Have you seen The National Treasures?
Forrest Whitaker. Okay, we based this off the last 10 years.
Here's the thing.
Because the last 10 years.
I know exactly who it is. That's the Ghost Rider.
Exactly.
The last 10 years, Nick Cage has been making movies in my hometown of Mobile. That should probably tell you a few things about how his career is going.
That's sad.
Yes, I am.
You hate to hear that.
Now, I will say that movie, Get Out, it was filmed right across the bay from Mobile, 3 miles from downtown Mobile.
Jordan Peele movie?
Yep, it was filmed in Fairhope.
I think what we're pointing out, though, is we'd know who Nicolas Cage was.
Yeah,
he walked in. Forrest Whitaker, I have no idea.
What's Nicolas Cage's best movie?
Raising Arizona was good.
National Treasure is good.
The original National Treasure, I think it gets some flack now. I don't know why.
Because people don't want to admit that it's actually
pretty
good.
But it's actually a great movie.
It's pretty good. Ben Harris was in the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
When that's the City of Gold.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good one.
I liked the first National Treasure. Yeah. I loved the first National Treasure. Yeah. I'm a history junkie. So
See, Donnie Harris is Forrest Whitaker as Charles Jefferson in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Stop trying to defend this Forrest Whitaker thing. I don't understand. Why do you love Forrest Whitaker so much?
And plus, Charles Jefferson in Fast Times at Ridgemont High is probably, like, what, the eighth most remembered character in that movie?
But, like, yeah, as I was saying.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, another one. Jeff Arrowwood.
Huge history junkie. So, like, National Treasure just gripped me immediately with you tie in the founding fathers and all that stuff. So, like,
is Con Air his best movie?
Nick Cage?
Yeah.
See, I'm a sucker for Raising Arizona. I think that movie was awesome.
Is Ghost Rider not
What
up
about
there?
That movie, It Could Happen to You?
That's a serious question. I thought that had great reviews.
What about the movie, It Could Happen to You?
I don't
with
know
him
that movie.
And Rosie Perez.
Why does he watch these weird movies?
He's the police officer, and he wins the lottery, and he has to split it with the waitress because he made the promise that he'd split the tip.
Here's the problem. I think I've discovered the problem, our disconnect here, Trey. Knoxville is actually a hub for fantastic movies. I mean,
Quentin Tarantino.
We've got
Burt Reynolds just filmed one.
We've had plenty of premieres here. Regal corporations are over here. So, like, Knoxville gets the top of the line movies.
Is what I'm trying to get at. LA of the Smoky Mountains.
And Mobile might not have gotten the.
I got a Robert De Niro.
You guys probably got the movies that are in the Windsong Theater that's behind the Lowe's off Cedar Bluff.
Look, yeah. Robert De Niro. No, Robert De Niro, Batista, Gina Carano, and that guy, that main character from that movie, The Losers.
You said one person who I know.
They were in Mobile filming a movie a couple years ago. That's out now.
I only knew Batista.
It's called Bus 57. That's what the movie is called.
Bus 57? Is that one of those first bus movies? Is that one of those first bus movies? I was like, if this stops driving, it's going to blow up?
Kind of. And they made Mobile look like a casino town. Yeah. Okay. Mike Johnson's coming up next on It's Optional. We will get back to some sports, but I did have a fantastic time.
A serious facelift of that city.
Talking. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Should've listened.
this type of vision is satisfaction in me.
It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here. Had a great conversation about Nicolas Cage and Forrest Whitaker earlier. I'd like to add in three more before we go to Mike. Repo Men, Rogue One, and The Experiment. I have no idea what movies those guys are in, but it is what it is.
Forrest Whitaker was in Rogue One, but I don't know what he played.
Okay, done. That's talking about Forrest Whitaker for a little bit. Let's talk coaching moves, SEC football. Everything going on all around the conference, especially in Tuscaloosa. My man, Mike Johnson, joins us. Mike, what up, buddy?
Hey, man, what's going on? It's interesting to be talking to you guys during the offseason. I'm still licking my wounds from that national title game a couple weeks ago, but nonetheless, good to be back on with y'all.
Man, with so much craziness going on around the SEC when it comes to, you know, coaching changes and people moving around, and, you know, I thought the story was, you know, it's trying to be written right now out of Tuscaloosa, and I find it very interesting in how this is all playing out. Love your opinion to start off. And I'll start off with this one. It's kind of broad, but it'll lead me to other ones. 12 coaching changes in 2 years. You don't see that happen much at other schools. Now, maybe it's not just as public. Maybe just people don't pay attention. But is this something just on the norm? You know what I mean, for Alabama, or is this time something to a little bit be alarmed with?
I definitely don't think it's the norm. I don't think you want it to be the norm if you're Nick Saban or if you're, you know, any part of that Alabama football program. I don't know that I'm so much alarmed with it just yet, Trey. I mean, I think that, you know, I think a lot of people skew this, and when people that aren't used to seeing Nick Saban's dealings with assistant coaches, I think people have a tendency to say, oh, you know, the dynasty's falling to the ground. When truth be told, I would say the most of these coaching changes are coming because Nick Saban wants them to happen. I mean, let's just be honest here. I know that, you know, Bama fans get a bad rap for kind of twisting things in their favor, but you and I have been around the sport long enough to know that, you know, a lot of times when there are lateral moves happening right after the national championship game, that it's not always, you know, Nick Saban doesn't want this to happen. Now, I do find it interesting, you know, Josh Gattis' comments. You know, he had to kind of walk back some of the things he said on that Jim Harbaugh podcast.
He sure did.
So he got on Twitter and walked some of those things back. But, you know, the bottom line is this. Bama hasn't lost a game by that margin that they lost against the Clemson in 20 years. So there were going to be some changes made to the coaching staff. Nick Saban doesn't fire people. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand is Nick Saban doesn't fire people. He's never fired anybody from being on the Alabama staff. He just asked them to move on. And, you know, I've talked to a few people that are involved in some of these coaching searches. And the bottom line is that anytime you have that much turnover, it's probably not a good thing, especially on the recruiting trail. But if there's one guy that can get it done and get it pointed back in the right direction, I think it is Nick Saban. I think there's going to be plenty of money to throw around, and I think there's going to be a heck of a staff come signing day, come spring football, and come next fall. So I definitely don't think it's the norm. I don't think anybody wants it to happen. But I do think there is a level of calculation involved in it that most of the general public does not understand. Nick Saban doesn't fire coaches. And so I think when you start to look at it from that perspective, it becomes a little bit easier of a pull to swallow. I'm not panicking, but I will say that. After I just put the positive spin on it, I will say that it does make me uneasy, the lack of continuity that these players are starting to see, you know, 3 years, well, you're going to have three different coaching staffs, essentially. That does make me a little uneasy about their ability to make a run next year. But we'll see how it shakes out. We'll see what happens, and we'll see who gets to fill some of those gaps.
On the defensive side of the football, like, people were talking about Tosh, you know, yesterday. And my thought is, okay, is Tosh out there calling plays, or is it Golden calling plays? Like, you know, that's always the one big mystery at Alabama, and the coaches do not talk about it when they leave. And I think a lot of it has to do just out of respect for Nick Saban. But overall, in the end, and I don't expect you to answer this because I know you've been around the program, but would it be a fair assumption to say that Nick Saban potentially calls 40 to 50% of the defensive plays that we're seeing on the field every game?
You know, that's a tough deal to call there.
Right.
Because I think the best way to put it is this, Trey. That Nick Saban situationally is in charge of the play calling. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Tosh LePoy or Pete Golding know that when this situation arises, this is what Coach Saban wants. Or when this situation arises, I don't know that specifically he's calling half of the plays, but I think situationally they have been directed to make certain things happen. So, you know, Nick Saban's going to have his fingerprints on this thing. I could honestly, Trey, I think it takes people off guard, but I could say the same thing about the offense, that situationally Nick Saban is making a lot of those calls. Nick Saban is saying, hey, listen, we got this much time left in the game, this much time left in the half. Here's where we are. Here's what the point spread is. Here's how many points we've scored. Here's how successful we've been in short yardage. Let's go with this set of plays instead of that set of plays. And so I think when you kind of bring it down to that level, a lot more people can understand that Nick Saban's got his hand on everything, just not to the attention to detail that maybe he once did in that program.
Looking else around the conference, we see coaches are leaving and going and taking new jobs. And, you know, Charles Kelly reportedly has decided to stay at Tennessee. But I want to hit on something kind of, you know, from the Alabama area, and that's T. Martin, who is from Mobile and did great things for the state of Alabama. And now he's moving back to Knoxville to take a position that's still up in the air. They're going to figure out which position to put him at. But overall, when you get somebody, and this could go for anywhere, like Alabama or, you know, like Auburn, Cody Burns is running the wide receivers at Auburn right now. Like, it just goes for anywhere. But when you get somebody like T. Martin to come back to a school who's won a national championship, who can sell the program, and you can make this a broad answer, I'm just saying, how big is that, A, for the University of Tennessee, and then how big is that for just programs in general to be able to have somebody come back that they know they can go sell what they experienced, and you know, as a high school player, you're not just getting a used car salesman type of deal, some kind of pitch from a guy that hadn't been there for 8 months.
Yeah, first of all, I love where you're going with that question, because I think there's a number of different ways to approach this, and I think that he will approach it from a couple of different ways, and I think those reasons are why Jeremy Pruitt really wanted to bring him on staff. And let me try to explain what I'm talking about. This is a guy from South Alabama, much like you and myself from down around that area. There's a ton of talent down where T. Martin is from. There's always going to be talent in South Alabama, South Mississippi, the west coast of Florida. Right there is always going to be a ton of talent. Jeremy Pruitt used to recruit that area when he was at Alabama. Made a lot of guys really good come to Alabama to be successful, and will do the same at Tennessee. So you look at that from a T. Martin perspective. Also, when T. Martin's playing career was over, sometime about, you know, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago when he got into coaching, he was involved at North Cobb High School, right here where I'm living right now, North Atlanta High School. So he's got avenues into that as well, around the Atlanta area, where so many prospects are coming out of these days. Really, the state of Georgia and the Atlanta area have become a metropolitan for high school recruiting, more so than they were 10 years ago. So when you look at it from that perspective, not only can T. Martin sell the program, but he has literally taken those avenues that he's going to be selling to players and saying, listen, I've come from this place. I've come from that place. I've been there. Tennessee is a national brand. I will help get it back to being a national brand. And, you know, listen, there's going to be a ton of positives for him coming back to be under Jeremy Pruitt. I think they all kind of fit in that category where it's just a perfect fit. I mean, anytime you can say that. And I love when Bama players, you know, guys that I play with get back involved with the system over there. But you always wonder how long it's going to last. I think T. Martin's going to be there for the long haul. I think he can sell things and develop his own coaching style in a way that he could not do at other places. I think there's a level of comfortability there that this will be a home run hire for Jeremy Pruitt. So all those avenues will be open, and Jeremy Pruitt knows it, and that's the reason Jeremy Pruitt was willing to move in that direction. I think it's going to be great for both sides.
And you've kind of seen this too. Like when you were at Alabama, I'm sure you had guys around the program, either in the weightlifting room, you know, in the film rooms, wherever around the complex, former players, you know, that have potentially come back, you know, and are part of the program, maybe in, I don't know, any kind of capacity, grad assistants or assistant coaches. And, you know, when you look back on it and you kind of look at the situations that are going on now, does Tennessee's recruiting, in your mind, pick up? Because you hit on it. I mean, what? It was also, I guess, let's not forget, was it Georgia State that T. Martin was at? I think it was Georgia State.
I believe you're right. Yep.
Yeah, Georgia State. So right now, and especially with guys going in home, how much is it a big to-do that these young players trust these coaches that are coming in because they've been through this type of thing before? and I kind of go back and put it on top of my other one, you know, compared to, you know, remember Hazelwood from Georgia who committed? He came out and said, hey, look, you know, I thought Georgia was just selling me a bill of goods, and then the coaching staff decided to leave. You know, how big is that nowadays where young men are starting to retool their mind and really think about where they're going to go to school and not just for the coaches in general?
I think it's a huge thing. Yeah. And I think more and more players, specifically, Trey, in this era of social media, where nothing's
right.
secret anymore. I mean, nothing is a secret anymore. You know exactly what's going on with every coach and every program and every conference and every state across the country. I mean, you can look it up. I mean, any recruit can go on and see any other recruit on huddle.com, and any recruit can go on to Football Scoop and see, you know, where their coach that's recruiting there might be rumored to go. So
great point.
I think that that's a great way of phrasing it, is saying, listen, T. Martin's a guy that he is a ball player. And I'll give you some context here in saying this. You know, Michael Locksley, who was the offensive coordinator at Alabama last year, took the job at Maryland, and one of the first things he was asked up there by some of the media was, he's had so much success recruiting that area. Will he dip back into that area and try to get some of those Alabama players flipped? Some of those guys that were committed to Alabama, will he try to flip some of those guys over to Alabama? Some of the players that he was recruiting from that area, will he try to get them to go to Maryland?
Right.
And his answer I thought was great. His answer was, I've been telling these guys for the last year that Alabama is the best place for them. So how can I circle back and then now tell them that Maryland is the best place for them? That's what you're going to get out of
great
T. Martin.
Great point.
T. Martin's going to say, listen, I know for a fact, I went through this. I went through this program. I'm a part of this community. I have that national title ring on my finger. I'm a VFL. He can say that with the utmost certainty to these players and sell that and say, hey, I know this is the best place for you because I've lived it. And there is a level to that that I'm sure that most people cannot understand when you look at it from a player's perspective, from an 18-year-old kid's perspective. The odds are most of these 18-year-old kids will not have the same coaches by the time their college career is done. So having a guy like T. Martin there, kind of like you said, that has been through that process and is still a part of that community and will always be a part of that community, I definitely think there's a level of security there that these players can feel.
That's fantastic stuff, Mike, and I agree with you, and that's why I wanted to ask you that question, because I knew that you'd have an opinion on it. Hey, I want to switch just for a second before you head out. Big games in the NFL this weekend. Who are you taking, man? Are you rocking with the Saints this weekend? Are you going with the Chiefs? Like, what's your take on it, bud?
You know me, man. I'm an old Atlanta Falcon. I cannot imagine.
I know.
I cannot imagine, Trey. Cannot imagine the New Orleans Saints coming in and winning the Super Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. It's going to make me absolutely sick if that goes on to happen. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the way out. And I just... Listen, I'm such a fan of Pat Mahomes,
and really
a fan of a lot of things that are going on with that Chiefs football team right now. When you look at their pass rush, when you look at their offensive line, and not only that, when you look at the situation they dealt with their running back earlier in the year with the domestic violence thing, I mean, it was a dismissal. There's a lot of reasons. Andy Reid's another reason. I mean, that guy needs a Super Bowl ring. So I'll be cheering for them, for the rest of this time, and I'll be holding my breath that none of those New Orleans fans and that New Orleans fan base be making their way to Atlanta with it proud, because second of all, it would be even worse too if the Saints are playing the Patriots, who obviously beat Atlanta a couple years ago for the Super Bowl title. Makes me sick thinking about it. But if that happens, if it's the Patriots against the Saints, I'm probably leaving town. I might be knocking on your door up there in Knoxville. Man,
oh no, we're switching places, bro. Sorry, we're switching places. You can have my place. I'll take yours.
I'd be down for that. Whatever I got to do to get the heck out of Dodge, man. I just don't want it to be the Saints, no matter what happens.
Hey, on your way out, can Pat Mahomes live up to that? You think he's a type of man that can live up to the hype over the next couple of years? Sometimes we see a quarterback like that or any kind of player that gets hyped up one year and kind of the star kind of fades the next year. Do you think he's the type of individual that can do that?
I don't think that he will be. I don't think there's 0% chance that he has a sophomore slump. I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to have ups and downs. But athletically, when you see what he does and see some of the throws he makes, I don't think there's any reason that there should not be a system in place that he can really succeed. And so there's so many bits and pieces to it. I mean, look at what Baker Mayfield is right now. Baker Mayfield was great year one. His ratios weren't all that great, but people are making decisions on that football team based on him. Freddie Kitchens gets that job based on him, basically.
Great hire, too.
Will Pat Mahomes Will Pat Mahomes have that his entire career? I don't know. I think Andy Reid's a heck of a coach, heck of a play caller. But Andy Reid's dealing with a lot of the same things that Nick Saban is, where there is so much coaching turnover that you never know what you're going to get on a year-to-year basis. So I think Pat Mahomes is incredible. I think he's been awesome for football. I think he's been awesome for the NFL. I mean, he has been must-see TV for a lot of fringe fans that all of a sudden you see on Twitter, man, wow, did you see what Pat Mahomes just did? No-look passes and things like that. And you got to turn the TV on. So I think he's been great for the NFL. I think he'll continue to be good for the game. I don't know that he's a lock to win a Super Bowl in the next 6 to 8 years, but I'm definitely going to be glued to the TV anytime he's playing, and he's playing in the right system, because I think he is he's definitely good for the game of football.
That's fantastic, buddy. Mike, tell everybody where they can follow you and argue with you on Twitter, bud.
I've had a lot of them this week, man. It's been a lot of fun going back and forth on people on Twitter. But at MPJohnson79, guys, and I always do enjoy the banter, and always do enjoy coming on the show, man. Thanks for having me once again, buddy.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for coming on. Have a great weekend, and hoodap.
Thanks, I won't say it. Don't you do that to me, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy. Mike Johnson, fantastic interview. Backroads Radio, formerly with SEC Country, former Alabama offensive lineman. Just a great interview, and I always have a lot of fun with him. I knew he was a Falcons guy, so just wanted to kid with him. We'll take a break now. We'll come back, and we'll talk favorite Nicolas Cage movie, because I'm not done with this damn argument yet that these guys are throwing out in regards to Forrest Whitaker and Nicolas Cage. So good luck. We'll see you on the other side. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back to the Ben Lee and Me Show, along with Brandon Johns.
On his proclaimed last day.
On Fox Sports Knoxville, on Brandon Johns' last day.
Can't get no respect around here.
I hate
to lose.
I feel
like Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin, excuse me.
Brandon, you know what? You put a lot of work into this show, and I
what's that?
You just cut my earphones off.
I know, I just cut your mic off.
No, I was
every once in a while, I got to stand up and show you who's running the show.
I was
going
to say, like, I didn't touch anything. I just, I have
my mic off.
I have a weird issue with the headphones on all the time. Especially because one of the, the earbuds is busted. Yeah. So, like, I hate.
See, that's why I'm rocking the
ones.
Nobody can see you.
I know, but I just don't like having one ear basically having noise, the other one's deaf, and then, like, when you countercock it, it just...
Well, see, I'm like, whenever I, like, have headphones on anywhere, I always have one out anyway, because I don't like not being able to hear what's going around about.
Hello, McFly! What is this? If you want to have this conversation
Biff?
After the show, Biff.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when you leave here after today? You're not coming back. You're going to work at a fireworks stand?
No.
Huh? You're
going to go get a big boy job. You're going
to shoot off some Rattlers somewhere? Some bottle rockets?
I don't think fireworks stands are very lucrative in the winter.
They are if you're a good salesman.
Right, if you're good.
Got to sling it like meth. That's my friend Charles Folger used to say.
Now, selling meth, you can make quite a bit of money.
We're not getting into this, okay?
Hey, I've seen Breaking
Brian
Bad.
Cranston over here. I wonder if there's a weird smell coming from the back room here at the studio. All right, getting back into this real quick. I wanted to know favorite Nick Cage movie earlier, and we're going to talk about this for a minute because y'all done pissed me off.
I told you, National Treasure.
No. Y'all done pissed me off, though, with the disrespect for Forrest Whitaker. Like, what are some other actors you have disrespect for
I didn't even know who Forrest Whitaker was. Like, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I just didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, that's all we were saying. It's like, I don't know who this guy is, even if I see a picture of him.
I wasn't saying he's bad.
He might be a fine actor. He's in a ton of movies. Sounds like he's just kind of accepting every role that comes his way.
I mean, that's Nicolas Cage now.
I don't know. When's the last time you saw him in a movie? It's been a
minute. Dude, there's a reason, because they're all straight to DVD.
Yeah, apparently he was in...
Look up Nick Cage's IMDb. I swear, he's filmed 3 movies in the city of Mobile in the last 3 years.
Apparently he was in a movie called Mandy last year.
What the hell is that?
Yeah,
see,
it was released September 13th, 2018.
Gone down.
Is Mandy a better movie than Phone Booth?
You know what? The last.
He got 6 out of 6 stars.
All right.
6.6 out of 10.
It is
the
better.
The last movie that was a mainstream movie was Snowden. He was in the movie Snowden.
Snowden or Snowden?
Snowden, like the traitor.
I'm gonna slap you. Snowden. Edward Snowden. The movie Snowden.
Snowden sounds like
he
a movie
was his
that Trey
professor
would like.
at the CIA compound. Y'all remember that?
Yeah,
it caught me off guard. I've completely forgot about that.
Nicolas Cage,
right?
Better than Forrest Whitaker.
No.
Looks like he was a. It looks like Nick Cage was a voice actor for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh my God.
There we go.
That's. I mean.
What about Jim Carrey? He was good in that movie, Kick-Ass.
I love Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's got a lot of bangers. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Liar, liar.
He switched to TV now. He's gone Netflix.
I thought Jim Carrey was done with everything, right?
Yeah, I thought he was like doing his artist thing. No. Like his paintings.
No, he's back. He's on like Netflix or HBO. One of them has a show.
There was like this weird little stint where he was kind of like,
well, that's because
he grew out his beard, super long hair,
and he was like kind of talking about how he was like getting brainwashed and stuff.
He's probably been here hanging out with Gary Busey.
Jim Carrey went off the rails, but Jim Carrey's got a lot of bangers. I mean, Bruce Almighty, Liar Liar,
Eternal Sunshine State Mind thing.
Yeah, wait, what?
That movie?
What's the one where he's the detective? I can't remember the name of it.
The Mask?
The Mask is awesome.
Mask is okay, but I'm talking about, like, there's a name for him. Something Pet Detective.
Ace Ventura.
Out. Ace Ventura. Also, all the Ace
something
Ventura
Pet Detective?
Ace Ventura, yeah. Pet Detective. The Pet Detective.
The Ace Ventura movie.
Oh, my gosh. All three of them.
The first one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all good.
Just the first one.
You just like the first one? You didn't like the second one?
No. That was stupid. Well, the whole damn series is stupid.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the whole concept is kind of dumb. Guy who hunts down pets, talks through his butt.
Okay, I didn't think about it.
I have to ask you a question.
Didn't really think about it like all that. Okay.
These weren't like deep analytical movies. Asking
he
big
was
questions
in that one
in
deep movie.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty?
No.
It did raise up some deep conversation.
Well, Morgan Freeman is God.
Perfect God.
Yeah. Oh, that's God. That is true. Yeah. Morgan Freeman? Okay, that's him.
I've always said, when that time comes, if I meet the big guy, it's Morgan Freeman, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Morgan Freeman.
I'll be like, oh.
Brooks was here.
That was legit, huh?
Okay. That was...
No wonder you did so well in that role.
Probably the best... him or James Earl Jones?
Wait, what?
James Earl Jones. His
as
voice.
God? Oh, yeah. James Earl Jones' voice. Voice alone.
The voice, like, through the thunder. Like, I can
like,
hear
like,
that. Yeah, but...
The Mufasa voice.
Oh, yeah.
That makes you... Yeah, that's something that just demands respect.
How did you feel when they came out with the live-action, like, trailer, and then you heard James Earl Jones' voice?
Oh, dude, I love it.
I was like, yes!
But, like, yeah, like...
Chris...
I did love all the tweets that were they made HD Lion King.
yeah,
that's literally what it's going to be. Basically. It's like 4K Lion King.
Chris said, SKS86 says, sorry, buddy, Nick Cage has always sucked.
Okay, hold on.
Nick Cage is the above-ground pool of actors.
The Rock?
However,
watch the language.
The Rock? Great movie.
Great movie. I agree.
All right. Ghost Rider? I've only seen bits and pieces of it. Looks cool. I mean, like,
cool
flaming bike. He's like a skeleton.
Which movie?
Ghost Rider.
No, I didn't see that crap.
You've never seen Ghost Rider?
Snake
You're
Eyes.
Telling me you sat through Phone Booth, but you didn't go see
a long
Ghost
time
Rider?
Ago. Snake Eyes was a pretty good movie.
You haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen Ghost Rider. I know what Ghost Rider is. No, I have not seen it.
If you haven't seen Raising Arizona, you should.
That's a good movie.
That's an awesome
And then
movie.
obviously we've mentioned the two greatest of all time, the National Treasure and National Treasure 2.
Con Air.
Con Air's good. I mean, he was in Sorcerer's Apprentice. I like that book. The movie was bad, but Nick Cage nailed his part. Crazy Teacher.
Who said the above ground pool of actors?
That was me.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah, he was in
Kick-Ass.
Pool of actors. Yeah, he was.
Nick Cage was in Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
I thought
that
was Jim Carrey.
No, he's the little girl's dad.
Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass.
In what role?
He was in Kick-Ass. He was the he dressed up as the the Superman. He was the parent to that other superhero kid.
False. Hold on, was Nicolas Cage.
No, the money that you have in your pocket, let's leave it alone.
Kick-Ass 2.
Thank you.
You just saved yourself. With who?
Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass 2.
Okay, but he wasn't in Kick-Ass, was he? Didn't think so.
Let's stop saying it.
Let's roll the tape.
You can say ass on the radio.
I know that.
You can say a lot of things on the radio kids these
in
the days. Car.
Let's roll the tape back. Did you say he was in Kick-Ass or Kick-Ass 2?
Kick-Butt 2.
Yeah, Kick-Butt.
Okay, which one did you say he was in?
Kick-Butt. Kick-Butt 2.
Yeah, you said Kick-Butt.
Okay.
He was in Kick-Butt.
Speaking of kicking things, is Three Ninjas Kick Back better than the first Three Ninjas? Because I would say the one where they go to Tokyo is better than...
Okay, you lost me again, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to have to...
Three Ninjas?
Is that a movie?
There's a movie called Three Ninjas.
Y'all have never... How old are you guys? You've never seen Three Ninjas?
Turned 23 this year.
Yeah. Y'all have never seen Three Ninjas or Three Ninjas Kickback or Three Ninjas Go to Monster Mountain. What?
Are you sure you're not talking about the Family Vacation movies?
No. Look up Three Ninjas.
Christmas Vacation.
Type it.
Wally World.
Type it.
Vegas Vacation.
Three Ninjas, where they, you know, the young kids. They play baseball, and they're also like ninjas. Like,
oh, are you talking about Benchwarmers?
I swear to God.
This movie looks dumb as hell.
It's not. It wasn't dumb when we were younger.
1992 movie. Okay.
Right.
That was 4 years before I was born.
Okay, well, then the point's well made. You don't go back and watch the classics.
That is not a classic.
Okay, like, I'll go back and watch the classics as in, you know.
VFL 1998 back says, to the future. Three Ninjas Kickback is the GOAT of the trilogy. I have to agree. Chase Everett says, Three Ninjas Knuckles Up is an all-time great. Hat Creek Cattle Creek says, bro, my 10 and 8-year-old watch Three Ninjas weekly.
How many sequels of this are there?
And then another person says, but I can't say their username because there's a cuss word in it. I bleeping hate Roy Williams says, you need new people on the show. First Forrest, now the Ninjas. This is embarrassing. Thank you. Mentioned by JT. Nicolas Cage is a national treasure. Mentioned by Josh Thompson. The fact that you just dropped Three Ninjas on air, you're absolutely my favorite show. Rocky loves Emily. Rocky loves Emily. That is true. John Acree, you lost me. Chris, BS, Three Ninjas does not suck. Binley and Brandon, much watch this weekend.
I don't own a VCR.
Boom! Take me to break. When we get back, we'll do news of the day. Nope, your mics are cut. Go to break. When we come back, we'll have news of the day. They've got homework. Three Ninjas Kick Back. Three Ninjas taking Tokyo.
I don't got time to watch four movies.
I don't care. You better find it. It's optional. We're on Fox. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling back in now. Brandon running the boards here and fixing the music. Call in with your request. 865-546-8200. He will be here for the next 4.5 minutes to take your musical request. Don't forget, just want to throw this out there to all our jazz listeners out there. Tomorrow, Corner 16. The drive will be at Corner 16 Friday afternoon from 3 to 6. They are giving away Ice Bears tickets. Sounds fun. Tickets to Valor Fighting Challenge 54 at the Coliseum Saturday night. Giving away a $25 copper card. That is at 1640 Bob Kirby Road on the corner of Bob Kirby and Middlebrook across the street from the Food City. That is Corner 16. Brandon, still looking. We're still putting. Is Dan Rather over there still putting together the news?
Good to go.
All right, he's good to go. It's time for one of the best parts of the day, and that is news of the day.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. Ba-ba-ba-ba. You could miss it.
All right, starting from the top. What is today? Today is National Hot Buttered Rum Day. I don't even know what that is. Some type of drink.
Hot buttered rum?
Hot buttered rum.
You just put
rum.
Butter in a glass of rum?
Ugh.
No idea.
Try that tonight.
Hot rum.
No idea.
Can't hurt.
Also, moving on. Both Connecticut and Tulsa's men's basketball coaches were ejected after a handshake at midcourt.
What?
Last night, Dan Hurley, coach of the Connecticut Huskies, and Golden Hurricanes coach Frank Haith were both ejected from Wednesday night's game.
Dang.
In the middle of the second half, with Tulsa leading 61-47, both Hurley and Haith were given technical fouls for yelling at the refs. Then they began yelling at each other, getting their second technical, and ejected from the game. Tulsa went on to win, by the way.
Oh, they got a tech in the coach's handshake line. That's fantastic. You get a technical.
Two fans. Well,
the game's over. I don't care. You still get one.
No, he's saying it was in the middle of the game. They
got one in the middle of the game, but they also, I think, they got one in the handshake line after the game.
Perhaps. I thought they got it because they were yelling at each other. Moving on.
Maybe. Okay, keep going.
Two fans at the Australian Open fought physical, gotten some fisticuffs over a sweaty headband tossed into the crowd by tennis star Arina Sabalenka's sweaty headband.
She's a great player.
You never heard of her. But anyway.
That's pretty bad.
So, yeah, would you fight over a sweaty headband?
No.
Not even one?
Maybe Jeannie Bouchard's.
Also, Michigan State interim president resigns after his controversial comments on Larry Nassar's victims. Did you see what he said?
No.
Oh, he had said that the victims were, quote, enjoying the spotlight.
Jeez.
Bryce.
And so he is out now.
Just burn the place to the ground.
Just finish them all off in Lansing. Just finish the school off.
Just shut down the university. Let's just move on.
Good Lord.
There's just one college in Michigan.
What
now.
An idiot.
And moving on real quick, just in history. 1950, 11 men steal more than $2 million from the Brinks Armored Car Depot in Boston, Massachusetts.
That's awesome.
Did they get away?
Yep.
Nice.
For like 6 years. I think they got caught down later.
That's how they made the move to the town. All right, keep going. I'm just kidding.
All right, moving on. Americans overthrow the Hawaiian monarchy this day, 1893.
It happens. That's why we have all these nice resorts now.
Well,
1945, the Soviets captured Warsaw. In 1916, the PGA was formed on this day.
Thank God, because we wouldn't have Tiger.
I could do without.
And Phil, shut your mouth.
I'm just kidding. Golf is a great game.
It's fun. Just tune in on Sundays. That's about sums it up. Hey, listen, I've had a fantastic show today. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate my co-host, Brandon Johns. I appreciate my other one today, Mr. Ben Lee. It has been absolutely spectacular. I've had fun. Thanks to our guests today, Josh Vitale coming on from Montgomery Advertiser, and then Mike Johnson coming on talking SEC football and coaching. I've had a blast. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll continue this thing rolling. We'll see if we have the same roster. I don't know. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Ben Lee and me.
Yeah, Ben Lee and me.